Hey, welcome to Crippled System, episode 266. My name is Andy.
My name is Nathan.
And I'm Dave.
Holy shit, 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. What?
Almost solid intro.
Well, I wasn't here last week.
You weren't here last week. So we did it well last week, too. So, I mean.
Good job, guys.
It's nice that we were able to do it 2 weeks in a row without prompting or talking about it beforehand. We didn't actually talk about it beforehand.
You don't talk about anything beforehand.
No, not really. No. So welcome. I don't know what we have to talk about.
Well, the Oscars haven't happened yet, so we can't talk about Oscar results. I continue to be 100% correct on all of my Masked Singer predictions.
Okay. What were the new ones that you correctly answered? Because I haven't actually had time to watch the show yet.
I was right about the rabbit, and I was right about the lion.
Oh, who were they?
Joey Fatone and Rumor Willis in that order.
Okay.
Rumor Willis was super easy, and the fact that none of the judges got it was pathetic. Because one of the things they had was they had kept having like newspapers around talking about what?
I have no idea who even Rumor Willis is.
You can guess.
Is the older brother in From Different Strokes?
No. No. It is Bruce Willis's daughter.
Oh.
And so in a lot of the little videos, they kept having newspapers talking about Haley, and there's like gold found in Haley and stuff like that, and she's from Haley, Iowa. In fact, Bruce Willis like basically owns that town.
Sure.
But the lady from the Pussycat Dolls doesn't know how to spell, so she assumed that that was a hint that she was Haley Steinfeld, the actress from True Grit and Spider-Verse and stuff like that, but
she doesn't spell it with a Y.
She spells it with two E's, and so it wasn't her, obviously. It was Rumor Willis.
Okay.
True story. And then the rabbit was obviously Joey Fatone, because it was a chubby guy from a boy band. Boom. Joey Fatone.
Well, that was the hint, too, that they gave?
No. The hint was that he was from a boy band, and then once you know you're zeroed in on a boy band, and then you see a guy with a little bit more paunch on the tum-tum,
sure.
You know it's Joey Fatone.
Yeah, because he's the fat one.
He's the fat one, as Robot Chicken pointed out.
I was going to ask if it's actually spelled that way.
Yeah, it is. It's
yeah, yes, it is Joey Fat One. Yes. He has a lot more than I thought he does. Like, he has a podcast, and he has, like, three shows he hosts and stuff. Like, Fatone's out there.
Yeah, he does a lot.
Yeah.
It's just in areas that I don't venture. I just know he does a lot.
Yeah. No, I think the first episode I didn't know the person who got eliminated, and then I think after that I'm 100% successful in my predictions. Either that's because I'm brilliant or because they're very easy, or a little bit of both. True story. But one of the ones that still, if there's three that's left and one of them I have no fucking idea. One of them I'm 100%, one of them I'm 95%, and the other one I have not even a guess. I just don't know who that monster is, guys.
I don't.
He's a short black man.
Okay.
You can tell that much.
So he's Kevin Hart?
Kevin Hart is actually a guess. Some people thought it was the guy from Good Burger, Kenan Thompson.
Sure.
But then he was a guest judge on this last episode, and so one of the judges was even like, I thought it was you, and you're sitting next to me, so I guess I was wrong. But I don't know who the monster is. I'm 100% that the B is Gladys Knight, but literally everyone on the planet knows the B is Gladys Knight, and I'm 95% that the peacock is Donny Osmond. It's either Donny Osmond or Neil Patrick Harris.
Could be Peter
Tork.
But
I think he's too short for Neil Patrick Harris. Probably not Peter Tork. But I think he's too short for Neil Patrick
Whether
Harris.
They're pre-recorded or not.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
It's also too short for Peter Tork. Okay. Wasn't Peter the tall one?
Yeah.
Yeah, Peter is the tall one. Davy Jones died a while ago.
Yeah, well, that was like a decade ago.
Yeah.
But Peter Tork, yeah. So I think Peter was also the one whose mom invented liquid paper, right?
I think that's Nesmith.
Was that Nesmith?
Okay. I want to say that's Nesmith. Because he... Yeah, it was basically he didn't need the monkeys, if I remember correctly.
The monkeys deserve way more respect than they get.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the monkeys, people, like, you think of the TV show, and you think of them as, like, a joke band, and you think of them as a fake band, and you think about the fact that they sold out Madison Square faster than anyone else in history as being, like, a sign that people have always had shit taste in music. They're good. Like, they legit have good songs.
I mean, the songs are written by other people, though. I mean,
not all of them.
Not all of them, though. But I mean,
their third album especially, their third studio album, they purposely did we mm-hmm. are making this album. And it's not their strongest album, but it was also the first album that they did that, right?
Yeah,
and
so, I mean, they were basically a boy band that they were all good singers, and Nesmith and Torque were actually good musicians.
Yeah.
And eventually they started writing their own music and did okay with it. But I mean, they had songs I think were just legitimately good, like Pleasant Valley Sunday and Last Train to Clarksville. Mm-hmm.
Come on, I'm a Believer. Yeah. That's a great, catchy song. But yeah, they had skills, they had talents, they deserve respect.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Believer is a fine song, but I do I honestly, seriously like yeah. Last Train to Clarksville mm-hmm. and Pleasant Valley Sunday.
Yep.
True Believer is a Testament song. That's sure. nothing like the Monkees.
They're actually surprisingly similar. Really.
The Testament?
Like Testament yeah. and the Monkees mm-hmm. are basically the same band.
I would like to hear a Testament version of The Last Train to Clarksville, though.
Or a Monkees version of True Believer.
Yeah.
Come on. That could be cool. What are you doing? Look at that.
I'm just looking at my phone.
Yeah, I know. That's not professional.
So, since when are we professional?
We're a professional podcast.
So, announcements. So, Adepticon's coming up. In about a month, and there are still spots open for Who's the Boss. So if you want to come and play Who's the Boss with Andy in a really cool format for War Machine and Hordes, you got to go and sign up for it. There's a lot of space left. Unfortunately, there isn't that much space left for Build a Guild for my Guild Ball event. I think there's only one, possibly none.
There's no swag bags left for Adepticon.
Yeah, the swag bags were sold out like the day they were released.
They were.
They were, but did you sign up for the wait list for the swag bags?
No.
Oh, because I signed up for the wait list, and I ended up getting a swag bag.
Oh. I didn't bother.
That was actually like about maybe 2 months ago.
Because I'm probably just going to hang out, and so I don't need a pass to the event, so I don't need to pay for a pass to the event, so I don't need to buy a swag bag.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same situation that I haven't decided if I'm coming yet, but I'm probably not playing in anything because I'm one of those people that's like, oh yeah, I'll sign up for a swag bag, and the day it opened and I was going to, and then the website crashed, and then they're like, oh nope, sold out. And then the War Machine event that I was interested in playing in was also sold out, so I'm like, yeah, well.
No, there's Who's the Boss spaces left.
Mm-hmm. You don't like Who's the Boss?
Dave's not a Who's the Boss kind of personality, I don't think.
Yeah,
just think about two Judicators with what random fucking shit you can give them.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I have played in one. I played in one Who's the Boss event, and this was at the time when Storm Lances were actually really good. So I took double Storm Lances and paired various casters with them, and absolutely crushed everyone I played. And ended up getting the dice at the end of the event for scoring the fewest points.
Correct. It is not a Dave kind of game.
Yes, it is not.
Because you crushed every game and lost the fuck out of that tournament. Yes. Because that is not how you win Who's the Boss.
Yes. That's exactly it because it's just not it is not aligned with how I play the game.
Right.
So. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, there's some folks that don't I mean it's meant as being a filthy casual event.
Well, although you can definitely try hard it and win. Like you let Brian Giese loose on Who's the Boss, and you will see what someone who is a try hard in that event can do to break that event.
Correct.
Brian knows mm-hmm. how to get that shit done. He's got his shopping list, and he's getting a check mark on every one of those fuckers. Which is fine.
God, speaking of that, you ever wish that as a child watching Nickelodeon that you would get that Toys R Us shopping spree?
Yes.
And then watching those fucking kids run down those aisles and just grab the most useless shit in the world. And you're like, what are you doing? Go to the electronics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get a Nintendo.
Yeah. God damn it.
I will say that Who's the Boss event, one time I drew Sturgis 2 as my caster, and I was pleased with myself that I crushed somebody with Sturgis 2. But that was.
But again, again, you totally tabled that guy while he did random stuff that got him a bunch of boss points.
Yes, that was exactly that was exactly what happened.
Bad, David. Yeah. Bad. Did you hit the table with your foot or your knee or your something? Don't do that.
It hurt.
Yeah, that's bad.
So I may try to stop down for a day and hang out with some people, because there are a lot of people that show up to Adepticon that I don't see very often that I like, and see if what kind of ridiculous sales the Badger booth has, because they always have some ridiculous sale at Adepticon, and then the Badger dude can sit and grump at you while you buy stuff, because he is always in a foul mood.
Yeah, pretty much. The Badger is in Chicago. Is it based in Chicago?
It's in Wisconsin.
Oh, it is?
Yeah,
oh.
As far as I know, why it is Badger.
Dirt. I'll be there, but I'll just be hanging out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Might play random pickup games, but
I really...
Probably Monpok.
I think this year might be one of the last years I run, like, Who's the Boss at Adepticon. Just because I want to actually play things at Adepticon.
Right.
I wouldn't mind doing some Guild Ball stuff or even playing in some other board game stuff there. Or actually, like this year, Matt DiPietro, painter extraordinaire, that former privateer, and he's running a class then, and unfortunately I cannot attend it because it is happening right at the time I'm running Who's the Boss. So that's unfortunate, because I was interested in seeing what because he was doing the contrast class. I don't know if you've seen some of his contrast miniatures out there. It's basically kind of a sketch style.
Sure. Style. Yeah, I've seen those.
And I was just kind of curious. I mean, I've seen how he does it. He makes it look fucking amazing. I've seen how other people do it. No.
Yeah, it's one of those styles that if it's executed even 80% correct, it looks like garbage. Like, you have to nail that style to make it gorgeous.
Same thing with like non-metal metallics.
Mm. Yeah,
is somebody who can paint that is, I mean, to make it look good is a god, and then everybody else is peons.
This is why I do use metallic paint and heavy coats of wash, and it looks decent, and I'm bad at painting. And
sure.
So it's like I don't know. Maybe that is the essence of skill at painting, is knowing enough tricks so you can hide that you're terrible at it.
Yeah. It is all about tricks. That's pretty much all how painting works.
Yep. I ordered some super special fancy paint for my Martians. So when that shows up, we'll see. But I ordered some of the prismatic color changing stuff.
That's from the Green Stuff Works, or some other company.
Yeah, no. I don't know who you're talking about.
Did you get some new glue?
No.
You're still fighting with your old glue?
No, I screamed at it loud enough that it worked.
Yeah. Sometimes it's also the air, too.
It worked on the first two legs, and then that third leg was just like, nope. I'm like, motherfucker, your brother and sister just worked fine. Get in there.
It's probably like a little bit of mold release in there.
Was a little bit of mold release in there, right? Because I rinsed off the model, but I mean, it was in like a really small little like joint. It's like an into the hip joint, you know.
Sure.
So who knows? I probably just didn't get deep enough into there. But
how is got
it to work.
How do you feel it's gonna handle against warm weather?
Yeah, that'd be fine. But it's what? I don't know what you're no. Okay. No. Not that. It was spaz sticks.
Okay.
You know what would be great is if you had the color change stuff, but you had to rub it first, because then Demos, you just end up breaking him. It was like, I want to show you how he changes color.
Oh, like hyper color? No, yeah. It is not like those color change T-shirts. It is a
why the fuck are those
thing.
Not a thing still anymore?
I don't know.
Is hyper color? I'm gonna look on Amazon right now to see if I can find hyper color shirts.
Maybe you can. Maybe hyper color is still around. I don't know. But yeah, I got spaz sticks, SPAZ space STIX.
If we could do that.
We'll see how it works out.
If we could do that, get crippled system hypercolor shirts.
Sure. Well, what you can do is, like, if you get a sunburn and somebody, like, squeezes your arm and then, like, it turns back to white and then goes back to. So you can be hypercolor.
Yeah.
You just have to, you know, give yourself cancer.
Prolonged.
Sure. Sun poisoning.
Yeah. Amazon is not spelt with a 9.
No. What's the what's the new prefix you should put on Amazon? When you go to Amazon, it actually might pop up and make you do this. There is a and smile.amazon.com. It's obviously a blatant marketing thing to get you to spend more money at Amazon, but if you're going to spend the money anyway, you should do it. Which, if instead of just going to Amazon.com, you go to smile.amazon.com and you pick a charity, and a certain percentage of everything you spend is automatically given to that charity.
Yep.
It doesn't cost you any more. There is zero downside to it apart from the possible push for you to spend money maybe you weren't going to spend anyway. Like, it's a marketing thing, right?
Yeah.
But if it's stuff you're buying anyway, there is no downside to going to smile.amazon.com instead of amazon.com and having some of your money go to a charity instead of to Jeff Bezos's pocket.
And not our government's pocket because they don't pay any taxes.
Correct. So if I have my choice between the money going to Jeff Bezos or going to Planned Parenthood, I know which one I'll pick.
Yeah, mine actually, I go to... they exist.
Hypercolor shirts still exist?
Yeah. Shadow Shifter. That's basically what they call them.
Oh, sure. Like, it's like if Coke went away but Pepsi was still around. Like, it's probably a different brand. But yeah.
They're kind of expensive, though.
They weren't. Maybe that's why they went away. Like, they didn't charge enough. You know, $30 shirt.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably like $5 more than a shirt normally would cost. I mean, because this thing, you can get like $10 t-shirts, but those are garbage and the threading all peels away immediately. Like, if you want a decent shirt, you should be spending 20 something. So $30 isn't that out of whack.
Those are cool. I'm surprised that they exist still. That's actually really cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, sign up for, Who's the Boss at Adepticon?
Yeah.
Come play with Andy.
And then bring down your Monpok and play pickup games with Nathan.
Yay.
You'll beat me because I play all Martian, and that's really terrible to do.
Uh-huh. No, you don't like to mix.
I mean, maybe I'll start mixing, but I play in Faction Pure, and that's a very, very bad thing, especially with Martians, because Deimos 9, one of his abilities is Brawl, which is that things near him have lower defense against... Or, I'm sorry, it's Flank, which is things near him have lower defense against Brawl attacks. Mm-hmm. Guess how many Brawl attacks there are in all... We'll see, there's 1, 2, 3... If you don't count Elite versus Standard, there are 4 different units in Martians,
mm-hmm.
and between those 4 units, there are 0 Brawl attacks.
Hmm.
So it's a super good ability for a Martian monster to have.
Yeah,
literally useless. The Ooh, only thing it helps. Then? The only thing that helps is the other monster. Is he can make the mothership better at punching things. But why? Why would she ever punch something when she can suplex it into a building or shoot it instead? Actually, that's kind of a lie. The one time she would punch something is that if she melees an enemy unit, she gets to replace it for free with one of your own units. So I guess Deimos 9, if you commit both of your monsters to punching a unit,
That
it works out aces.
That sounds pretty... I mean, considering there's like 10 units on the table? Or for...
It can be, I guess. Normally you'll kill them faster than that.
Okay.
Units die in droves.
That seems to be something that you'd want to... Put all of your attack dice into just that one unit.
Yeah, fuck you!
Yeah. So you could put out something that will die instantly to the opponent's monster.
In his hyper form, he loses that, but he gets where he just like smacks shit around, like flailing his limbs, and it's great. He gets to make 2 melee attacks a turn, and each melee attack, when he hits something, it goes flying into another thing. So he can just kill like 4 things a turn, just whipping his noodle arms around. That's fun. He's not a bad monster. It's just that one ability does not function very well in a faction pure build.
Hmm. One of these days I'll play the game.
You should. It's very good.
Yeah.
It's very fun.
It's been sitting...
If you'd bother to bring it on a Tuesday, and if there's ever an odd number of people, you can definitely play a game.
Possibly. But usually if there's an odd number of people, I'd rather go home and play WoW.
Okay. If you'd rather go home and play WoW than play Monpok with me, I'll try to take it personally.
I could be browbeaten into playing it.
I won't browbeat you. If you're like, I would rather play WoW than play Monpok with you, more power to
guilt
you.
Guilt is the verb, not browbeat.
I mean, that's how they got me to go to a tournament yesterday.
Yeah. Hey, it worked. You went undefeated.
Yeah.
I'll bring my Switch and play Darkest Dungeon. I don't need you.
I'll bring my Switch and play Dead Souls. Or Dark Souls.
Dead Cells.
Darkest Dungeon
Cells.
2!
Oh, I am hyped.
And it's like the Mountains of Madness. Of course it's the Mountains of Madness.
I don't know.
Sequel. Yeah, so we're getting a sequel to Darkest Dungeon and a sequel to Hollow Knight. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a good year.
And one of those games I really like, so I'm looking forward to its sequel.
Mm-hmm. You actually like Hollow Knight.
I actually like 99% of Hollow Knight, and that 1% just shits down its throat so hard.
Well, I'm hoping that they fix the map system in the sequel.
There are enough people that like the map system that it's working as intended that they won't. They won't. It's a main mechanic of the game, and I just happen to hate that mechanic.
Yeah.
That's life. What's happening? Oh, you're pressing buttons.
No, I'm just typing in the computer here because somebody asked a question. And
I hope that the link is destroyed because of the security. Oh, no, it went through.
No, because Andy knows how.
You can post links in your own chat.
It's not good actually job a link. Is it? I don't think it is.
It looks like a link. Yeah,
it's a link. It is a link. I can post blue links. Nobody else can. Yep.
Well, who knows? Maybe they won't see it. Maybe it's just showing up on our screen. Chat can tell us whether or not that link works. Well, Darkest Dungeon 2. Woo!
Yep.
What did I say?
Am I reading too much into the Darkest Dungeon 2 trailer that none of the religious characters are on there?
No.
And the flame is a big part of the trailer, and so perhaps the holy flame that is what the Crusader and the Flagellant and the Vestal use will actually be a plot aspect where those characters aren't available.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know. I didn't see the trailer. So I've got
It's only 30 seconds. I
don't need to see it.
But Wayne June talks during it.
Wayne Knight?
No, Wayne June.
If Wayne Knight was in it, I would be very happy.
No, Wayne June is way better than Wayne Knight.
What?
Wayne Knight's fine. He doesn't have. He's not the ancestor from Darkest Dungeon.
Oh, I mean, is that a character from the game?
Wayne June?
Yeah.
That is the actor who does the voice of the narrator in Darkest Dungeon.
Yeah, but what if it was done by Wayne Knight, though?
I mean, that'd be fine, right? I guess if you want Nedry just shrieking through Darkest Dungeon. No, I mean, you can get that nod, that mod.
He's not shrieking. He doesn't
do his little squeal giggle when he's got the shaving foam. And he's like, just do that, but like randomly while you're playing Darkest Dungeon. He's just giggling like when pigs get critical attacks on you. I'd take it. You crit miss and it's just like,
that would be amazing. I hate the meme that goes around, that's going around basically talking about like no expense spared, you know, IT one person.
Yeah.
They had a whole crew of IT people and the fucking park wasn't even open yet.
Also, spared no expense says who? Says one guy who could have been lying. That fucker spared every single expense behind the scenes. He spent a lot of money on the surface of Jurassic Park to make it look really impressive. Mm-hmm. He pinched every penny in the background. Because he said spared no expense doesn't make it true.
It also, if you look at the IT area for Jurassic Park there with Nedry and Samuel L. Jackson and all the other... I just mentioned, I don't know the character's name for Samuel Jackson in the movie.
Yeah, Arnold.
Other than hold on to your butts.
It's Arnold.
Arnold, it is?
Yeah, it's Arnold.
But anyway, you look at there's like a whole bunch of extra seats there.
Yeah.
For that.
Ads are for Nedry for when he breaks them. They're spares.
So as Andy was saying, we did guilt him into coming out for a tournament yesterday because we packed up three teams from Madison to head down to Iowa for an event.
Third of the fucking venue.
Yeah.
At down at First Turn Games, by the way, which has moved.
Yeah,
it's not at the First Turn anymore.
It's kind of.
Is in the parking lot with the freaking Long John Silver's anymore.
Well, the Long John Silver's
is long gone.
The building is there, but it's no longer occupied.
It's long gone. You knew
that's
it was
why
long
I never
gone
go there. Anyway. I know. Yeah. You'll notice I never went to an event there again
since that point.
No offense, Billy.
Billy doesn't play War Machine anymore,
but he was the host.
He was the host there.
No, there's a barbecue place in the chairs of the parking lot, and I was going to go there and said I was going to go be disappointed by barbecue by Iowan barbecue, but the admin said, "Oh no, go to this barbecue place instead." And we went to Q Dog's barbecue, which was actually pretty good.
I'm sure it's exactly as good as both Famous Dave's and Sugar Fire.
Oh, you guys went afterwards?
Yeah. So
okay.
So we went during the third round because Quimby and I had literally discussed this 2 weeks ago because we're wanting to run a team tournament in Madison in the spring.
Sure.
And one of the things that we had discussed is that Quimby had literally said, "When we get paired together on the third round, I'll match into you, concede, and then we'll go talk to Micah, who was running the event." And Micah, if you're listening, thanks again for running that. Every event we've been to that you've handled has been great. It's been local team tournaments, which is like my jam for War Machine. But so Quimby had said literally like 2 weeks ago, it's like when we get paired together in the last round, because that's obviously what's going to happen because fate hates us. And I will get match into you, concede, and we'll go talk to Micah about setting some stuff up. And so then, of course, the third round, our teams got paired together. He claimed me on the matching process and immediately resigned. And so we went.
So you guys colluded for the victory. You colluded for 2 weeks beforehand for this victory.
Wow.
Apparently.
Yeah. Collusion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I took my third round opponent, and we picked up my second round opponent because his team had to drop because one of those mm-hmm. players had to leave. Yep. So I took my second round and third round opponent, and we went out and got barbecue after talking to Micah about tournament logistics for a while.
Ah, cool. Yeah, no, I was kind of a last minute thing, and then I tried to fight my way through not going like tooth and nail all the way, on the day of the event, I was like, it's really icy out. My driveway is ice. I don't want to go. I didn't say specifically I don't want to go, but everyone fought through it, and we went through it.
Yeah. And y'all got second place and went undefeated. Did not lose a single round except Rick in the bye because they only gave him a 2-1 instead of a 3-0 in the bye.
Yeah, so Rick somehow lost a game
in the bye.
Sure, because the team gets the 2-1.
So yeah, we went undefeated. My pairings for the day, I basically took Karchev in Legion of Steel, which I know is probably not the most popular thing in the world, but I just want to counter charge everywhere.
Yeah,
which I didn't set down at all. The one list I did set down was Old Witch 2. And Wolves of Winter, which
has
just,
legs.
Yeah, it's. I felt confident putting that into almost anything mm-hmm. out there. The only things, because I played that game like a year ago or so with that, and the only thing I was really worried about is Signar shooting. And unfortunately, great thing about the meta nowadays. How much Signar shooting do you see out there?
Lots. Yeah. Lots. Signar's everywhere nowadays, Signar's right?
Everywhere. Around every corner, hiding in a small box that
on a shelf. Yeah.
Fortunately for people that run lists that say, well, this is great into everything except shooting, the Signar community has demoralized itself.
Well, I mean, it's the good thing about the Old Witch 2 list, though, is I can take it into shooting.
Yeah.
It's just certain Signar lists, like Nemo 3 would eat that list alive.
Yeah.
They would just place down something with Chain Lightning, and just all my Doom Reavers would just die to it. The good thing, though, is it is kind of a weaker Chain Lightning, so it's possible that Reavers might survive with Tough. And then with Fenris around, you can stand them up, but yeah. But I ended up running that list into Kaya 1, kind of a beast-heavy Kaya 1 list. Long story short, Kaya decided to be too close to a Stalker, and I hit her with a Scourge, and then I hit their objective with a Curse of Shadows, and then a Doom Reaver walked over to Kaya and dropped the sword on her, did 15 points of damage on a non-charge.
Well, Kaya's really durable.
Yes, she's very durable. And then my final round, because we only played two games because we had a bye and we couldn't fit in a fourth game for the event, I ended up taking on Scar 3, which is my very first time ever taking on Scar 3. Mm-hmm. I don't know what theme that she was in. What's his name? The lesser
Iacos.
Iacos had Charybdis on him.
Charybdis.
Yeah, Charybdis, whatever the thing is. Mm-hmm. And then had like a whole bunch of the Slaughterborn.
Mm-hmm.
Slaughterborn guys are the
Bloodgorgers.
Bloodgorgers, yep. And also had other ones that have ranged weapons that I never faced before either.
Marauders.
Marauders, okay. Yeah. All right, so I took on them, and
those guys didn't exist last time I played.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't exist when I played last time I played either. Or maybe it's just nobody ever used them. So Scar ended up lining up a bunch of things in front of her, and I think which I don't understand how he could possibly forget, because Crix has got Curse of Shadows.
Yeah.
I ended up Curse of Shadowing his front line there, and Fenris and about six Doom Reavers went into Scar, and
that'll do it.
Usually is pretty good.
I was playing my Judicators list, or my Judicators pairing, which by that I mean I had Krios 1 double Judicators backed up by Resnik 2 double Judicators because I'm a apparently have limited imagination when it comes to Protectorate lists. But so first round, I dropped Krios 1 into Scorn. And
Scorn?
Scorn, it was either going to be Morgul 2 with two turtles in Winds of Death with double turtles, or Makeda 3 in Imperial Warhost. And I honestly wasn't in a hurry to fight either of those because I think Krios was my obvious drop there. And in both situations, I was going to have limited use out of my feet. But he dropped Morgul double turtles. And after putting some damage into one of the turtles and getting close to killing the other one, he got kind of aggressive, and so I killed one turtle, and then after clearing that turtle, noticed that he had left Morgul standing next to his objective, which meant that by lobbing rockets at the objective, I was able to kill Morgul with blast damage.
Oh, yeah. That's... Yeah. You didn't kill the objective before you killed him?
Well, the objective died on the fourth shot into it because I was lobbing PAL 15s and then only boosting the blast damage,
yeah,
and then
yeah.
the PAL 17 signs important shot at the end killed the objective, and then I had one more scatter onto Morgul, and the fifth blast damage shot was enough to kill him after he transferred three times. So there's that game. And then the game after it, I screwed up horribly on list selection because I was playing into trolls and he was playing his list was Jarl and Kolgrimma. And I went ahead because he was pretty heavy on warrior models for both of them. So I switched to Resnik 2, who I have Madeline with, who mostly mm-hmm. protects him from warriors.
Yeah.
And I screwed up horribly because I should have taken the other list because I had been teching against preparing for by just like going over the rules and the situations for it to make sure I could stop Madrak 1's ricochet from killing Madeline.
Sure, because it's just basically yeah. She can't sucker that, if I remember correctly.
She can sucker the ricochet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so that was so I was getting everything loaded up for that, and then after I'd set up, I was flipping through Jarl's card and looking at Magic Bullet, and I was like, oh, it's not an attack, so I can't sucker it. Okay, this is going to be hard. And so after that screw up, I kind of played as best as I could, and then had to come up with an overly complex and convoluted solution to my self-inflicted problem, which now that I say that out loud seems to be an alarmingly accurate microcosm of my life. But anyway, I managed to have a very convoluted assassination, and Jarl took a rocket in the teeth and died.
Mm-hmm. So did you guys get like first, second, third?
We got first, second, and
I don't know.
Third, I think, went to Iowa, but I don't know.
Iowa got third and fourth, but we got first and second. Yeah. The Pound Troll Squad team went 1 and 2 because we got paired into them. We got paired into them last round.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. There was a drop. There was a drop, and because of it, we had to the pairing for the last round was kind of wonky because Andy's team had already played into a pair down, and so it was really limited how they could do it. And we ended up playing into a pair down that happened to be another team from Madison because the other potential team we could have played we'd already played.
I see. So, I understand.
Yep.
But we had a really good record. Everyone had a really good record. We had
More importantly, did everyone have a really good time?
Oh, yes. We had an amazing time.
I did. I learned one thing is before going into a giant tournament like that, I should get some play time beforehand because, like, my first game, I was just barely into the third round, and I had like 11 minutes left of my clock. In my second game,
zoom zoom.
In my second game, I think we're in maybe I think the same thing. Barely into the third round,
Tempest Fugit,
and I had like maybe 15 minutes left on my clock. But I mean, I was going for the assassination anyway.
Yeah.
For against Kaya, I think I would have been fine because Kaya sent in her beasts in to kill off my conquest. But then she teleported back and she was just not in a safe exec spot.
Yeah.
But with Scar, I was in my assassination run, and there was, if I would have failed, I would have died then.
Yeah. No, I mean, that was the game against Jarl. My assassination run was so convoluted. I won the game by killing Jarl on the bottom of three with 5 minutes on my clock.
I think our entire team all went to, we were in single digits and on the clock.
Yeah.
For everyone.
Rick explained his last game to me, and it makes me, I need to punch him in his neck the next time I see him, because he won with 19 seconds on the clock on assassination. But in his last game, apparently, let me find the summary he gave to me.
Oh, yeah, no, I wanted Rick to be on the podcast to talk about this as well, because he...
Turn three, he forgot to activate Wrong Eye. Turn four, he forgot to activate Rask. Turn five, the Wrestler frenzied away from Rask because he couldn't reave the Fury, and then when he activated Rask, he didn't move him into control again. And he forgot to dump Fury off of Roar, so Brian made three frenzy checks over the course of the game.
Yeah.
I'm like, how the fuck do you win that shit? And the way you win that is your opponent goes for assassination, spikes dice to two-shot Rask with Sunder Spirit, and then you call to sacrifice on a Bogtrog, and then wage Furious Swamp Horror and kills all with 19 seconds left. Jesus Christ. How do you forget to activate your Warlock? And then after that happens and your Beast Frenzy's away, you activate your Warlock and don't move him into control.
Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, we all had fun. I mean, on my team, on the drive back, Keith, who was our captain, had made the comment that it's like, yeah, it's like even the drive was fun because we talked about random stuff for the 3 hours of the drive, and it was fun. And then we had a great event, and then came back, and the ride back was entertaining.
I rebuilt my old witch list, and I want to test it out now. Yeah. So I am. If anybody out there is listening and they wish to, if they have a brand new Victor that's in box, I would be happy to trade. I have the Protectorate Colossal. I have another Sepulchre and that in box, and whatever the Retribution one is, the Helios and Hyperion.
Yep.
I'd be willing to trade one for one on those.
And also, if anybody's listening, I'm going to really suggest people run more three-man team events because they're more casual than the five-man team events because it can be more difficult than it seems to get five people on the same page to get stuff working. Yeah. But it's a lot easier for three-man events. And what I've noticed is that almost everyone has fun at a three-man event. And, I mean, even it's really good for newer players, too, because you're not dropped into a very competitive steamroller on your own.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you could be thrown under the bus.
Yeah.
I will say, though, the team that we did take on the second round, though, it was a gentleman who brought both of his kids to the event.
Yeah.
The kids were fairly young, but damn, they were actually pretty darn good in what they were doing. Yeah. Like the 8-year-old that had the Retribution for us was definitely not to be taken lightly. She was nasty. Yeah. Yeah. It was actually really good for all of them.
Good.
Yeah.
So.
No, it was a great event. Everyone had fun. I mean, I think everyone had fun on the on the Iowan side. I'm pretty sure the people on the Iowan side all have fun, but all of the people on the Madison side definitely did.
Yeah, yeah. It's a solid event, and yeah, even if we were going to try to make it into a five-man event, there would basically have been four Madison people that would not have been able to go.
Yeah.
Or you just invite one more person.
Well, yeah, I would have a hard time trying to find that one other person.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
Would you have gone?
Yeah.
Oh, we should have asked you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, because if you invited me, you would have had to invite two more people.
We could have found two more people from Madison.
Fuck yeah, I didn't want to go.
What the hell?
No, I actually even chit-chatted with some people on a thing. I was like, yeah, and any events coming up? And it was Dan. Dan was in that group. He's like, yeah, there's like a 3-person tournament in Iowa this weekend. I'm like, eh. But if it was a 1-person thing, I would have went. But once it was a 3 thing, I'm like, I'm not going to find a team. So I just didn't bother.
We could have probably found you a team. We could have brought Jordan out of retirement just to play as Doom Reaver spam for it. Yeah. I mean, he probably would have if he wasn't busy doing something else.
Yeah. Right.
But...
I'd have confused him. We would have like set up the table, and I just would have started putting Monpok monsters on the table. Like, we ready? We gonna do this?
Remember my Mompok Who's the Boss scenario that I had?
Yeah. No, I remember that. Hmm? That was one of many scenarios that we were doing weird scenarios for Who's the Boss.
It was a scenario which you would actually bring in your game interns in the game.
It was basically playing Mompok.
Playing Mompok. So you would bring in like a unit of pikemen in and then...
Well, and the monster part, because it was like with Jax and whatnot, and so it was almost a precursor to the Total Colossal Wrestling thing that Hungerford did.
Oh, I haven't actually played the Total Colossal Wrestling stuff at all.
It's body slams and shit.
Sure.
It's very Mompok-y.
Cool.
Your story.
I need a Victor below.
Damn it. What?
I need a Victor now.
I need a Gorgadra and some Chompers.
I might have an extra one.
Just an extra Gorgadra just laying around?
Yeah.
Why?
He's from the starter, right?
He is. Do you have two starters?
I think I have an extra starter.
Weird. Yeah. I might take that off your hands then. If you have two Gorgadras, I will definitely take one off your hands.
Yeah. I don't think I have the extra beast though, but
no, that's fine. That's easy.
Units.
True story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do we have any other announcements or any other shenanigans? I haven't seen How to Train Your Dragon yet. I'm saddened.
I haven't yet.
I bought my tickets for... Well, I didn't buy my tickets. Somebody else bought the tickets. I'm double dating for Captain Marvel. And the my work friend, he bought all four tickets for Captain Marvel. So I said I would buy the popcorn. Yeah. So I got my Captain Marvel tickets.
I've got
Saturday morning.
I've got the Captain Marvel tickets, I think, Saturday morning, too.
I just have to survive Friday. It's an interesting thing I saw, because there was the Avengers 4 trailer like during the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And there are several shots where you'd see like guy, another guy, gap, another guy. And so the big thing is the assumption that in all those shots, there's somebody standing there that has been CGI'd out for the trailer so that you won't know who that person is.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Some people are assuming it's Captain Marvel. It could be that, like, you know, somebody who died is back and they're in those shots. But it's, you know, because Marvel does that kind of stuff. They had Hulk at the Battle of Wakanda in the trailers. Spoilers, Hulk's not at the Battle of Wakanda.
And they also went through in every single CGI shot. Thanos had a different
they
order
mixed up
of
the,
his,
yeah.
of his gems and his glove. So you didn't know when and where technically he was going next.
Yep. And then there's a couple shots where they just gave Thanos really adorable pigtails. It was subtle, but they threw that in there.
You know who that could really be, though?
Thanos with pigtails?
No. The character that's missing in all those shots?
Captain Marvel?
No, it could be the Vanisher. It could be Brad Pitt.
Oh, sure. Yeah, the Vanisher. They could definitely bring the Vanisher. Because canonically, he survives now, right?
Yeah.
Because during the end credit sequence of Deadpool, he takes care of all that stuff.
Did he take care of all that? No, no. Vanisher, I think actually all he. I think he already died because he's just saved Phil, Peter, or whatever.
You don't think he saved everybody?
I don't think
feel
he saved
like
everyone.
He would save everybody.
No, I think he saved.
Hopefully,
I think he
except
just,
Shatterstar. Fuck Shatterstar.
Well, he was the first to go.
Yeah,
you
let him die.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I think he just saved just Peter or Phil or whatever the guy's name.
Rude. Rude to not save everybody else. Vanisher's a cool dude. He vanishes.
Momentarily. Until he hits.
He was vanished forever. Like, it wasn't even momentarily. That guy's good at vanishing.
That's honestly, like, one of my favorite sequences is the AC/DC jumping out of the airplane, though, and you just see the backpack, the parachute just go off with nobody in it.
Because well, until that moment, you don't know whether there actually is a vanisher or not. Like, that's the first time you're like, oh, wait, I guess there is a guy? Maybe? Did they just throw a backpack out of the airplane? I'm not 100%. Oh, wait, no, he's dead. Okay, he was real.
Yeah. Oh, man. God, I love Deadpool, too. I can't wait till that hits.
Who else do you love? Well, you said you love Deadpool 2.
Yep. The movie. I love the movie Deadpool 2.
Okay, so and which other... So you love the movie Deadpool 2, in addition to what?
In addition to the Juggernaut.
Okay, so you love the Juggernaut, and you love Deadpool 2.
Yep.
Okay. Gotcha. Juggernaut was, you know, he was in that movie. He was, you know, who played the Juggernaut in Deadpool 2?
It was Ryan Reynolds.
It was Ryan Reynolds. Yep. A double threat.
Yeah. I appreciate... I mean, he was actually pretty decent CGI for him as well, too. I appreciate CGI for those monstrous characters.
You don't like them just having an Australian guy in a tinfoil helmet?
Who's that?
Fucking X-Men 3. X-Men 3. Well, the last stand where they had Vinnie Jones just in a tinfoil, like it was obviously just a foam thing with some tinfoil wrapped around it. It was such a bad helmet. And quoting the meme, and
I mean,
Juggernaut's not a mutant.
Well, sure.
He was a mutant, and I mean, he was a mutant in the movie.
Yeah, but, of course, yeah. Because instead of
No, he has a very powerful suit that gives him extraordinary healing, and then he has the helmet to prevent himself. Yeah.
Not only is he not a mutant, he's also not like relatively small and easy to beat.
Yeah, he's not. I mean, he's not like normal human size. Is kind of the point.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. At least Magneto decided that he didn't want to have Juggernaut swim and then move the bridge for him. That was kind of fun.
X-Men 3 was not great, but it wasn't as terrible as people claim it was. It's tolerable.
I rank it up there with Spider-Man 3.
Sure. Yeah.
As in, it's watchable.
Not as bad as people say.
There was a substantial drop-off from the second movie, but it wasn't as... Yeah, the same way as Spider-Man
3. Jim hated X-Men 2.
Yeah, I know. And Jim is very often incredibly strongly opinioned and wrong.
Yes.
And he was very wrong in his hatred of X-Men 2.
Like, the whole sequence where basically Wolverine does what Wolverine does in the X-Mansion is fucking amazing.
Yep. Yeah, and you're like, oh, he's going to, you know, beat those people up. And you're like, oh, no, he just murdered like 100 guys. Like, he's in full-on murder mode.
Whoever is in charge of cleaning for the next week at the X-Mansion is, you know... They're going to be a little upset.
Yup. X-Men 3 is okay. So it's all right. It wasn't bad.
I would say it is bad, but it's not as bad as what...
I don't think it's bad enough to necessarily call like a guilty pleasure. It's flawed, and it's the weakest of those three films, but it wasn't bad. Like, I'm not embarrassed to have seen, like, if I'm like, yeah, I'll watch it, it's not like guilty pleasure. I don't have to be half drunk and laugh at it. I can enjoy it on purpose.
I would say what's the newest one?
The Apocalypse.
Was that Age of Apocalypse?
I think that was the newest one, yeah. And then Dark Phoenix is coming up soon. Age of Apocalypse was the most recent one. Because they had First Class, then Days of Future Past, then Apocalypse, and then the Phoenix one's coming up.
The one with Ooze, dude.
Yeah, that was Apocalypse.
That was Apocalypse? Okay.
Baron Von Ooze was Apocalypse. That was their version of, I forget his real name, but that was their version of Apocalypse, was Ivan Ooze.
That was painful to watch.
Sure. I actually didn't even bother with that one.
I haven't seen that one either.
I super love First Class. First Class might be my favorite X-Men movie. And then Days of Future Past was fine. You know, there was dumb character choices and plot holy stuff. It was a very comic book movie. I would put it on par with like the first and second X-Men. And then I didn't bother with Apocalypse because it did not look good.
Yeah.
To go back originally when I was talking about CGI and large characters, it is bothersome for like the Juggernaut to not look like the Juggernaut. It, for me as a kid growing up, when I would watch The Incredible Hulk, I mean, Lou Ferrigno, mountain of a man.
But he's still a man.
He's still a man.
Yeah.
He doesn't have legs that are like tree trunks.
But in the 80s, there's only so much they could do.
Exactly. So, I mean, even when Ang Lee released the Hulk.
Hulk.
Was it just Hulk?
Okay. It was just Hulk.
When he released that, though, I mean, that was amazing to watch. Mm-hmm. For visually, it was amazing to watch. Yeah. Storyline-wise, again, not so bad. But I don't know, when you turn his father into the Absorbing Man and Zazax and all the other Hulk villains and...
The whole desert scene where he's just beating the shit out of all the tanks and everything is good.
Oh, fucking... Yeah, it's amazing.
You're just like, stop pissing him off, you idiots. You're just making it worse.
God, and they made some really good Hulk games after that, too, because there's the ones there for the Xbox and I think PlayStation 2 at the time. But I appreciate it when they actually make the character look like the character. Like when I saw Colossus for the first time in Deadpool, that was like that's fucking awesome.
It's a shame, you know, that it had to be for such a garbage character that nobody likes. I can't think of a character that's lamer or that reflects less well on people who enjoy them than Colossus. Like, does anybody who's not a complete dweeb tool loser like Colossus? Andy? Andy, does any... Andy, Andy, hey, Andy, does any... What are you doing, Andy? Andy likes Colossus. That's the joke. The joke is that Andy likes Colossus.
Colossus is my favorite fucking X-Men, you motherfucker.
I did really like Colossus, and what was it, X-Men 2, that there was the
there's a little small throwaway sequence with him.
when he was putting on the armored skin. I thought that scene was really neat. And I was like, come on, can we see more Colossus? Oh, but yeah.
I mean, we did get to see a fastball special at least in the movies. Yeah. So I mean, we also got to see an amazing fastball special with Colossus and Blink, I believe it was.
Oh, yeah. Going through Days of Future Past, through the portals. Now you're thinking with portals. Yeah, that was a cool sequence in Days of Future Past, the whole thing with all the portals and fighting the Sentinels.
Yeah.
That scene was really good.
Yeah. Now we're reminiscing about
Magneto's plan to just, move a football stadium. And then, none of that made any damn sense, but whatever. Whatever. You do you, boo. You do you.
It seems like we've been probably recording for well over an hour, and we're not even at an hour. We're
not even at an hour.
Yeah.
Did you tweet for Zupal Grupals?
I tweeted, but no, there was no responses. I saw losers. That there was a favorite. I didn't ask for Zupal Grupals either, but I did see you were fighting with your brother again.
Well, yeah, sure. I'll do that. Happens. I'll do that every once in a while.
Yeah. I don't see anything in there. I don't see anything anywhere else.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Good job. You assholes still don't watch The Masked Singer, so we can't talk about that.
No, I'm not.
And I only saw the first episode of Umbrella Academy.
I think I mentioned it last week. I watched a little bit of The Passage. It's the vampire movie vampire show with Zach Morris.
Zach Morris?
Yeah.
Like from Saved by the Bell?
Yeah.
What?
He's the main protagonist.
That guy has a career?
Yeah.
It just Saved by the Bell and then nothing and now he's a vampire?
No, he's not a vampire. He's protecting a kid versus vampires.
But Zach Morris would never do that because Zach Morris is trash.
He is. No, there was NYPD Blue, or he was on a cop show for a while too.
What?
And he was halfway decent on that too.
I don't think, because David Caruso didn't play Zach Morris.
No, David Caruso did not.
He's also not a fat Italian guy. If you're thinking of NYPD Blue, there's that who's that guy? He looks like Super Mario. Who's that guy?
I know exactly who you're talking about. I have no idea what his name is.
The fat guy with the mustache.
I'm going to look up Super Mario and
Dennis
IMDb.
Franz? Is it Dennis Franz?
Dennis Franz.
Dennis Franz did not play Zach Morris.
No, he did not.
Well, so why are you claiming he did?
Huh? No.
You just said that Dennis Franz.
I'm saying Mark Hoggosler was in, I think he was in NYPD.
Jean-Paul Gaultier?
Yes.
The Sausage King of Chicago?
He looks, actually, to be honest with you, Mark Hoggosler in his IMDb photo looks very similar to Logan.
Yeah, why did you just pull up a picture of Hugh Jackman? Jean-Paul Gaultier did not play Logan.
Yeah, he was in NYPD Blue.
Hugh Jackman?
Yes. No, he was in, he was also in Franklin and Bash, which I've...
Rizzoni and Isles?
Jesus Christ. Are we just going to fill the rest of the podcast with just non sequiturs?
Would anyone be able to notice the difference?
That's true as well.
Somebody was really angry about me talking about cherry limeade calories. It was nice.
Oh, yeah. Because they're expecting War Machine content in our podcast. Hey, guess what? Guess what? We filled part of this podcast with War Machine content.
We did. We talk about War Machine Does
anybody that actually listens to us expect to have heavy War Machine content?
No, but people who don't listen to us, that's why they don't listen to us, which is fine.
Yeah.
That means don't listen to us. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah.
Last week we had a lot of War Machine content.
Yeah, because I wasn't here. Yeah. And you were.
I participated in part of that too.
I'll probably play War Machine again in like 3 months.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
That's my plan.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Did you see that we tried to... I started a new poll on Twitter?
No.
I'm going to change the name of the podcast.
Yeah.
So I gave four options for those. Option A was Lord of the Feast.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
Option B was Lord of the Feast.
Sure.
Option C was Lord of the Feast.
Uh-huh.
And option D, Lord of the Feast.
I think I like Lord of the Feast the most.
Which one, though?
Lord of the Feast.
Well, A, B, C, or D.
I prefer C.
I mean, can you not tell the difference?
No, I couldn't.
Wow.
Sorry.
Wow.
Sorry. I guess I'm Lord of the Feast-ist. I don't...
What about Ford of the Least?
If I didn't have the same troubles as what the War Machine and Horus general group would have,
holy moly.
If I didn't have the same problems where I would change our page name, I would have done that.
The fact that he can't change it back. And then I think that admin actually left the group in shame.
I think so.
Like, he wasn't kicked out or anything. Like, they were just like, you know, point and laugh, everybody. But I think he took the pointing and laughing too seriously and left the group.
Oh.
Come on, guy. It's okay. You made a mistake. It's all right.
Did you see that PP then posted about it, too?
Yes.
Holy shit.
Well, now people are leaning into it because it's Lord of the Feast talk now. Yeah. Like, that is the name of that group. That's all people are doing, are talking about the Lord of the Feast.
I had no idea what happened. I had no idea that it was an admin in there. I thought, because when somebody forms a new group, I do get Ninja invited to new groups a lot. I'm sure you get the same thing, and you get the same thing. So I thought it literally was after people talking about Lord of the Feast, is somebody formed a Lord of the Feast group. And you know, it was just memeing on it.
Nope.
I learned like 2 days after that it was a rename. And like, oh.
Yeah. And then he's like, ha ha, I'll change the name for a minute. It'll be funny. Yeah. And then he goes to change it back. And no.
Not for another like 20 days or so.
Yeah.
This has even spilled over to the Discord that most of the active people in the Discord have changed their names to something Lord of the Feast related.
Oh. Crippled of the Feast.
Yeah.
I still think of the Least, but he can't be Lord of the Least because that's probably like some term for Jesus or something.
Yay.
I saw Sunday Morning Breakfast Cereal, which is a web comic that's usually funny. They posted one where it was like Jesus, and he's like, I have come back, you know, from whatever, and I'm going to take all the strongest and smartest and most confident people on earth up into heaven with me, just like I said I would. And they're like, what? You didn't say that? He's like, yeah, I did. And the meek shall inherit the earth. He's taking everybody else up into heaven. Like, enjoy earth, shitheads. It's like, yeah, you got to read the fine print.
Zappity?
Grumble. Speaking of things online and taking stuff seriously and people hating our podcast, I would like to speak for a moment because I wasn't here last week.
Uh-oh.
And I was going to do it on the internets with the typings, but instead I'm going to do it in the episode. What?
Let me mark it on a time code. All
right. It's right around an hour, right?
I was just saying, let me write down the time code just in case.
No, there's no just in case. No.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be a just in case. That's the whole point.
Really?
So there are various types of humor and various types of entertainment, and one of the popular forms of comedy is rant humor, things like Lewis Black and whatnot, where they shout and ranty, and it's funny because anger, haha. And that is something that I do on this podcast quite frequently, is rant about stuff and shout about stuff. An important thing with rant humor is choosing your target. Things are always fair targets because they're just things, right? You can rant about a staircase all day fucking long. It's just stairs. And animals kind of fall into that as well, especially like, you know, fuck that bunny. It's ironically funny.
That kid is on the fucking escalator again.
But no, so that's what it is. And so what becomes dangerous is with people, and there's a key rule with people is never punch down. So you can always punch up. You can always punch up. If somebody has more power than you, attack them all you want.
You could do punch out blindfolded, too.
You too. Did you see the link I sent
did.
You? Yeah,
I did.
About the history of blindfolded punch out. I knew you would appreciate that because it's your favorite speedrun category. Summoning Salt in general does a lot of really cool history of certain speedruns, but that was the one I knew would speak to you. So anyway, always punch up. There's nothing wrong with punching up. Fuck people more powerful than you. You can't hurt them, right? That's the whole point of punching up. And you can punch sideways on the same level in appropriate contexts. That's an important kind of me making fun of Andy being a giant fucking dork because he likes Colossus, and again, the worst character in X-Men, only morons like Colossus, is fine.
Have you seen Aliens?
The movie?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Do you remember when Bishop was doing the cool knife thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Could you put your hand out?
Sure. Have fun with that. So that's fine. You know, and like how roasts, you know, roasts are fine, right?
Correct. Yeah.
But it is important in those situations that the person you are punching, A, knows that it's happening, and B, is present to make it clear that that's what's going on. So long story short, when I randomly was bashing Mr. Malorian 2 weeks ago, it wasn't okay. Like, the situation was not in the position where it's the right thing to do, and I won't even hide behind it came across wrong. It just was wrong. I shouldn't have been attacking him as aggressively as I was, because even though I was doing it just as humor and half tongue-in-cheek, that isn't necessarily knowledgeable. So an apology there. I should not have attacked him quite as well as I did, or as much as I did. Shitposting. He's actually a really good shitposter, and so... Good shit posting is different than shitty normal posting, and I was claiming that was shitty normal posting. If you look on his Facebook page, he actually is a really good shit poster. His memeing's quality. So even though he's still dead ass wrong about the Buccaneer, because the Buccaneer is a really good fucking jack and way better than a Talon, I do want to apologize for how aggressively I attacked him 2 weeks ago, and tell people follow his Twitter page, Mr. Malorian's War Machine. Garbage memes or something. I forget what it's called. But what the hell? What is it called? I'll pull it up. He'll agree.
I don't think it's garbage memes.
I don't think it's garbage memes at all.
I think that's you, like, that's putting the garbage in there.
There's like a half back ass, slap ass.
Mr. Malorian's War Machine memes and meandering.
They
are shit posting, and I mean that in the best possible way. So anyway, I was going to type that, but I'm bad at typing shit up, and so I thought I would just save it and say it on the podcast.
Yeah, we had talked to him about that.
Well, I talked to him about that, but, you know, that's different than just saying stuff out there. Oh, come on, why aren't you going here?
My internet is
I believe
gone.
On you, Facebook. Facebook doesn't want to go to his thing. But anyway, long story short, he got memes on his webpage. I was meaner than I should have been. He's wrong about the Buccaneer. That's that. I'm annoyed, speaking of ranting about stuff. So the Resident Evil 2 remake, which I don't know if either of you guys have gotten a chance to play.
I've watched a little bit of it here and there.
I have not played it.
But I want
to. I was told that it's basically Resident Evil 2 just again. Like, they revamped it. They upped the graphics. They kind of, you know, gave it like the Resident Evil like 4 shooting style.
Yep. The gameplay of that.
But I watched a video like the other day talking about it, and they said that they took away the whole A-B storyline mechanic, which pisses me off, because that was the coolest thing about Resident Evil 2.
No. Mm-hmm. You have a playthrough with Leon, and then you have a playthrough with...
Right.
With...
You have the A and the B, right?
Yeah.
So there's four playthroughs, because you have, like, Leon's A,
yep.
And then you have... you play through as...
Claire.
Well, because who's Ada is B, right?
Ada's B, I think, was Hunk.
Okay. Well, either way, so you'd play through as Leon, his A, and then you play through as Claire's B, which is what was Claire doing during Leon, right?
Yep.
And then you can also switch and have Claire's A and then Leon's B. So you can play through both of the same thing. But what they've taken away, at least this is what the video I watched claimed, was so in the original version, if you do Leon's A, okay, and you're going through and you open a closet and there's a machine gun sitting there.
Yeah.
And you go, cool, machine gun, fuck yeah. And you take the machine gun and you play the rest of the game. Then in Claire's B, when you get there, there's no machine gun because Leon took it.
I think that's still the same.
They were implying that there was no more, like, they didn't affect each other anymore like they did. I'll have to double check, but the one video I watched claimed that was the thing.
I would verify with Brian. Brian has played through it multiple times. Because
I remember especially, like, there was one time you're playing an A and you get to, like, the lab and you just, like, push a button and they're like, nothing happened. And then when you're playing through as the other person, just, like, you release, like, acid into a room. It's like, fuck, what asshole hit a button?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you did.
At that time. What would be really amazing is if everything's taking place all at the same time. Both the A and B plots are taking place at the same time. Wouldn't it be cool if the game actually recorded your original playthrough as Leon, and then you could see outside of the door?
Yeah.
Like you enter in the same room and you see, you know, Leon shooting somebody out there.
Yeah, they would have to make sure, like, you would have to not be able to be in the same areas, like, ever. You know what I mean? But that's not possible because it's important that those cutscenes and stuff happen where they meet up with each other.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Because the issue is then, like, you'd have to get there at the same time.
I guess the logistics would be ridiculous. Well, I mean,
you could screw with the timing on that. If you wanted to put the effort into it.
But then that kind of undoes what Andy was talking about, where it would be neat to have see what was actually happening. Like, if I'm playing as Leon and I got to a certain spot in an hour, and that's where the cutscene triggers, if I then play as Claire and dick around for 2.5 hours before going there, then it doesn't add up.
Well, I mean, still, you can just, like, arbitrarily pause the playthrough until you get to the cutscene and then resume from that point.
If you both were playing at the same time, you could almost do it like a Mario Kart ghost thing.
Sure.
Yeah. Just have, you know, like you're wandering through a room and then just Leon just runs past you.
What would actually be really cool is just to have like multiplayer online where one person plays as Leon and one person plays as Claire and you just both go. You just both start.
That would be really freaking cool. Then it'd be a speed run to try to see who gets that shotgun first.
It's like playing Apex Legends, like, shit, I wanted that shotgun.
Yeah, and you would have to have, like, maybe to get to the final boss, you would have to have, like, some kind of a checkpoint where you have, like, a door where two people have to open it, you know, in the thing, so that both people have to get there before they can finish the game.
Yeah.
But if somebody, like, clears their route first, they can maybe go try to find the other person and help them.
Yeah, kind of go back front from the top of their route down to where they would be.
Yeah.
That would be actually really cool to play. I'm excited for... at the success of Resident Evil 2. I know that that's the board game there, but the actual video game. I'm excited at the success of that. That means that they'll probably end up redoing Resident Evil 3, and we might see updates to other Resident Evils. What are you doing to the table? Scraping off shit.
That's all I was doing, was scraping off shit.
But I'm excited to see them, because Resident Evil 2 looks beautiful for
the remaster.
Game. The remaster.
Yeah.
And
if Konami didn't suck, I would love to see some remasters of like the Silent Hill games.
Well, yeah, but
like Konami... Silent Hill 2 looking good would be great.
So, fucking babies and
Pyramid Head, just, you know.
Which one did I play then? Did I play? Because I remember there being fucking murderous babies.
There might have been in 2, yeah. The main monsters I specifically recall from 2. Obviously, 2 was the first one to have Pyramid Head in it. 2 also had like 2 sets of mannequin legs, like waist to waist, and so it's like this quadruped that would either walk on the 2 or it would scurry on all 4 legs. Nope. It also had like the inside out people.
Nope.
Like it looked like they were in a straitjacket just because their arms were stuck inside of their torso and they would like spray acid.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, that's all.
I remember running around a town that was all misty. And
yeah, they're all misty. You may have just played the first one.
It's probably the first one because I just remember the radio would just suddenly start freaking out when there's monsters nearby.
And that's in
1
and 2. But you probably play the first. Yeah, because the first one has little babies because they're in the first movie too. But yeah, that was probably the
babies,
first one.
Babies, and I remember like gargoyles.
Yeah, that was almost certainly the first one then.
Yeah.
Because even when you first start the game, you pick up the radio at like a diner, and one of those gargoyle things is right there as a big plot point to teach you about the fact that monsters exist.
Yep. Yay. Do we have anything else to talk about?
Yeah, a stupid puppy chewed through one of the eyelets on my shoe, so now that loop of my shoelace won't stay on that side of the shoe. That's a really annoying place for a shoe to be torn.
Which puppy? Yeah. Is it the small one?
Yeah. I only have one puppy.
I have a dog and a puppy. I didn't know that was a puppy.
Yeah. He was just born in June.
Oh, I thought it was a rescue.
No, he was, puppies can be rescues.
Sure.
But no, we got him from some little lady, like, bought him, and then she wasn't allowed to have him where she lived, and so we took him.
Well, that's good. I thought it was much older than...
No, when we got him, he was only, like, 4 months, 6 months, I don't know. Did we get him around Thanksgiving? Yeah, so 5 months. Time works that way.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up, David.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm
So we should probably just jump over to recommendations. Mm-hmm. I don't see much happening in the chat, so.
Yeah, it's a slow, lazy day. I think people are at the Oscars. And by at the Oscars, I mean at their televisions.
Who's watching them?
People.
Are the Oscars today?
I love the Oscars, and they are a garbage indicator of film quality. I enjoy them completely independent of that concept, because no.
Didn't they eliminate like two of the categories, or at least they're not showing them on television? They did walk that back. Because cinematography, I think, is one of them.
The hilarious thing was the two awards that they were going to not show live because they were like, man, we'll just do these ones during commercial breaks, are literally the only two awards that are unique to film.
Sure.
They're the only two awards that fully define the concept of movies, and they're the two that they were going to shove in a corner.
Yeah.
Cinematography and editing.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Everything else is present in other forms of media except cinematography and editing.
Yeah. So I have a friend of mine that I grew up with that's basically a director of...
I'm really enjoying
cameras. I can't.
I was really enjoying you saying cinematography.
cinematographer?
Cinematographer, yes. That is the word.
There we go.
This is English.
Yeah. Kinda. But yeah, I saw him post on that too. It was kind of bullshit
it's very bullshit. Very bullshit.
That is just such a stupid affair too. I mean, you have certain movies that they're you know that this movie is going to win because, you know, it's... Well, it hits all the notes.
The Academy judges have even admitted that they don't even watch the movies.
Yeah.
They just vote for the movies. And they're like, yeah, sure. That feels like that deserves it. Like, they don't even watch the movies.
Yeah.
You think those stuffy morons, all of them, watched Fury Road?
No. No.
Nor did any of them watch Black Panther. Like, they just...
Exactly. Like, it feels like literally a token entry.
It's an important film. Good for it. Again, it's not a matter of film quality. Like, they're awards, they are what they are, but I don't look at the Oscars and go, that was the best film that year. No. That's not how they do shit.
Yeah.
But I heard something. You just tapping your feet or something?
Yeah.
It sounded like you dropped a ping pong ball. It had that very unique hollow sound.
No, I'm just tapping my foot. Okay. I was saying, no, I did not drop a ping pong ball.
But it did sound like you did.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Are we going to get into a fight? Or are you guys going to start kissing?
¿Por qué no los dos?
Yeah, why not both?
Can't David and I just hate fuck?
I mean, we have the room for it down here.
Yeah, you don't have the chains yet.
Yeah. So or the bumblebee, you jerk.
Well, who saw what you did to Bumblebee already?
Somebody, that's okay. Somebody got you a goddamn like 8-foot-tall bumblebee.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking awesome.
And you didn't even put him up.
I didn't even put it up because...
He's out in the cold.
He is out in the cold. Yeah, I threw some stuff on him, too.
Oh, my God. Children wept. Like, Raylene wasn't even exaggerating. People wanted that bumblebee, and their children cried when she said no. Yes!
It will be up soon. I really need to get... The main thing I need...
right here.
No.
Just his crotch.
It's got a hole in it now.
No, it doesn't. Wait, frittage. That's all it was.
There's a hole in the crotch. What is that hole in the crotch for?
Did you not see the picture of me having sex with the bumblebee cardboard cutout?
No.
Oh. Well, I had sex with a bumblebee cardboard cutout.
Again, I'll take your word for it.
No, you don't have to. There's pictures.
I'll just get the picture on
it. Listen, so for storage, it kind of folds in half. When it folds in half, it looks like he's doing the grabbing his own ankles behind his neck thing.
Oh, okay.
Which... looked very suggestive, and so we could not resist a session of lovemaking. But it was a gentle, magical moment. It transformed me.
You know, there's a running theme. There's a running theme in this podcast with Nathan and robot sex. Because I mean, realistically, I mean that was your second major complaint with Solo was that there was only implied robot sex and there wasn't actual robot sex.
Correct, mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. And that was at a family store.
Yeah. Well, listen,
I don't have to identify where it happened. I guess.
Listen.
And the first table in the front of the store,
right by the door.
Right by the door. No, I'm just in the process of, I need to get a large carpet. And so I can actually start setting up a nice podcasting area is what I need to do.
Put up the green screen and a bumblebee crotch.
No, the green screen is going to be for our movie Pain Trains if we ever start those again. Well, I'm afraid. I'm afraid to do those because of YouTube's shenanigans.
There's ways around
shit.
It. You just have to edit stuff. Other places do it fine, and it's fair use.
Yeah,
it's fair use.
It's fair use, but they still claims.
Yep. Well, and apparently now they'll just take down your video if people say inconvenient things in the chat. You don't even have to be involved.
Yeah, in your comments and that. If some people can say horrible, hateful things in your chat, it's now the YouTube's, or it's now the content creator's responsibility to monitor and monitor that. So either A, you got to turn off all communication with your viewers by disabling all the comments, or... you can get demonetized or get your YouTube stuff removed.
Yeah, well, you know, good times.
At least we didn't mention anything about CP or, you know, the points that you get in Pokemon Go.
Mm-hmm. Yep, or consumer protection.
Or, yes.
Yeah, YouTube's having issues right now, okay. David. They're having issues. Although that issue, it's a very difficult one because how the fuck do they fix that? In general,
it's that one is troublesome. But at the same time, then when somebody sends up a video for an actual review of that, and they don't fucking review it and say, no, it still doesn't meet our content. It's like it's a video about fucking Pokemon Go.
Yeah,
I mean, how is this endangering the children of our world?
Well, Pokemon Go is dangerous for them because they'll go walk into traffic.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, I remember. So YouTube. I don't think they still have it, but you used to be able, like, on a video, you could click on the info and, like, the settings and stuff where you, like, could turn on the adjust the quality or turn on subtitles and stuff
like
that.
There, yep.
But they used to have in there where you could see the demographics of who watched the videos. Like, you'd say, is popular amongst men, or this is popular amongst teens or whatever. And if you went onto a video of, like, let's say, like, a 13-year-old girl doing makeup or reviewing her clothing, they would have this spike where it's really popular amongst 10 to 14-year-old girls, and then a giant spike where it's really popular among 40 to 60-year-old men. And it's like, human race. Oh, God damn it, human race. You motherfuckers.
You're not 40 yet, are you?
I am not 40.
Okay, so Nathan's not part of that spike.
I am not part of that spike.
That spike.
But Jesus, yeah. So
when are you turning 40?
Not for a couple of years.
Not for a couple of years?
I'm easy to math. I was born in a year that ends in a zero. So
well, I was
it makes
born
it
in a year
easy.
That ends in a five.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah.
High five.
Except for it's late in the year, so it doesn't add up.
Mine was like dead center.
Yeah.
Like literally dead center. I guess not quite. It would have to be like 2 weeks later to be dead center, but pretty fucking close.
You could just change it.
Oh, sure. I can do that.
Yeah. Some people have birth months, you know?
I don't agree with the birthday I was assigned at birth.
Yeah, exactly. You wanted to be out earlier.
Yeah.
Or later. It's like, I didn't want to be evicted yet. Yes. You can bring that up to your mom.
Yeah. That was rude. Yeah. I wasn't ready.
Yeah. Zavity.
I could figure out, you know, try to figure out math-wise when they had sex 9 months prior to that, and then figure that as my actual, like...
Your conception date?
My conception date. Because according to some, you know, religions, that's when life begins. So that should be what I count my age from. I could just do my birthday Korean style.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Just do Korean style.
Yeah.
I'll just Korean style.
Korean style, the day you're born, you're 1 year old.
Mm-hmm.
And then on New Year's Day, everybody just goes up one.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it's possible that you could have like a 3-day-old be two.
You can have a 2-day-old be two, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they can be born New Year's Eve, they're one. The next day, they turn two.
Yep. It's like, why isn't this kid walking yet? Like,
he's a 2-year-old kid.
Barely hold his head up and move. All it does is just shit there and shit.
On the other hand, that kid's got a huge advantage for getting drunk. Like, because he's going to be 21 like 2 years before his friends are.
Yep.
But yeah, it's just easy. It's the universe. Boom. New Year's Day. Everybody goes up a year. Because it's basically, instead of age, it's how many different calendar years have you existed in.
Right.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, you
but,
know.
You know. It works.
Happy birthday, everyone. What's your sign? Well, January 1st. What sign is that? It's a really popular sign in Korea.
January 1st, Sagittarius that may be something? Sagittarius, though.
I don't fucking know.
Well, I'm a Sagittarius. So.
No, nobody's a Sagittarius.
Oh, I will stab you. Colossus, I think, is.
Well, so there you go.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You're being so mean to me today.
Yeah.
All right, do we have any recommendations?
Yeah.
Are we going to say them?
Probably.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Umbrella Academy is on the Netflixes, and it's another. I enjoyed. Did you everybody enjoy the House of the Haunting, the Hauntings of the Hills?
Didn't watch it. Well, it's a scary film, so
it's not. Haunting of the Hills is not scary.
I heard that it's got some scary stuff.
It's got one really strong jump scare, and it's atmospheric, but it's not. It's really not that scary.
Me just sitting down to play Resident Evil Biohazard is enough for me to stop playing
Resident Evil 7?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Resident Evil 7 is way scarier than Haunting of Hill House. I'm saying
just the atmosphere, like me just logging into the game,
yeah,
that'd be enough for me to stop. Because the atmosphere usually is worse than the actual
game. Haunting of Hill House is more just a family drama that just happens to take place in a haunted house. And, yeah, there's some scary moments, but there's one really big jump scare later in the series. And, like, episode 2 or 3, there is one scene that was really creepy. But apart from that, it's, there's some ghosts. It's fine. Whatever. But the point is, as I just said,
Umbrella Academy.
The point is, it's not really a scary thing. It's a story about family coming together, and it just happens to be the MacGuffin for that story. Is the reason the family comes together is haunted house. Mm-hmm. And so Umbrella Academy is similar in that it's really a family drama in disguise. They disguise it by making it look like a superhero thing. Because the whole premise of it is that there's superpowers people, and there's this team that were, as kids, they were all adopted by a billionaire, and he turned them into a superhero team to fight crime and everything like that.
So it's like Different Strokes, but better.
It's Different Strokes. If Professor X had adopted all these children and raised them from infants as adopted children and forced them to be the X-Men whether they wanted to or not, and had also been really neglectful and abusive, that is what this is.
Oh, so the bad guy or the father is
the father did not give two shits about them as people. For example, he adopted 7 kids, and he named them based on how strong he felt they were and important they were to their team. And their names are number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5, number 6, and number 7. He did not even give them human names because he did not give a shit about them as people. He was forming a team of superpowered things because he thought it was cool.
Okay.
I am number 4.
Yeah, number 4. Number 4, I actually like number 4 in this one.
That's a bad movie, though, too.
It was a bad movie. But the point is, so he's not, it's interesting that he's not like this wise, noble, loving Professor X thing.
Sure.
It's also interesting that he's dead before you ever meet him. Like, you only see him in flashbacks because the premise of the show is that he has died. And so the kids come together, A, for his funeral, and then at least one of them says, I don't think he died naturally, we should look into it, and then plot, 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 plot.
Sure, okay.
So it's interesting that they actually did that, where like he wasn't abusive, but like one of the characters, number 7, does not have any overt superpowers. Like she just, even though she came about into the weird circumstances all the other ones did, and he adopted her assuming she'd have superpowers, she doesn't. So when he comes public with this crime fighting team, and he's doing the interview like with the press, he's like, yes, I adopted 6 children. All 6 of my children are superpowered. Doesn't even admit she exists. It's not like I have 7 kids and 6 of them have power. She doesn't have power. She's useless to him. Fuck him. Mm-hmm. Fuck her. And you stay back in the mansion. Nobody needs to know that you're a human being because you don't have powers.
Your radio.
So that's, yeah. So that's interesting. But anyway, so it's good. It's very stylistically shot. Very good soundtrack. Lots of nice music during various scenes. And I would recommend it.
Isn't it done by the same folks that did the Marvel's Runaways?
I think it's possible. But yeah, it's good. So it's another one of those. There's just one season. It's 10 episodes and done. They might do a second season, but if they do, it's going to be a different story. But it's a self-contained thing. You can binge it and be over. But if you like the Superma Heroes, if you like the Haunting of the Houses of the Hills, if you like stuff and things.
You should get on and watch the Punisher series before that's actually taken off Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, actually, all the Marvel stuff, if you want to watch it. I am going to be going through a large binge because I've missed a lot of Marvel stuff.
I've watched a grand total of like 7 episodes of the Marvel shows on Netflix. I watched like 2 episodes of Jessica Jones.
Which one? Season 1?
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't watch all?
No, I caught a couple episodes in the middle because Raylene was watching it. And I was like, oh, I've heard this is good. So I started watching it with her, and then she stopped watching it because she didn't like it.
Oh.
She just didn't like, what's her face? The main character.
Jessica Jones?
Yeah. Well, huh? the actress has a name. Kristen Ritter.
Yeah,
so whatever. And then famously, Raylene and I tried to watch the first season of Iron Fist, and 4 episodes in, we both realized that we each hated it, and we're just watching it, assuming we were being nice to the other one.
Oh, you thin red lined it.
We thin red lined it. Each of us thought, and so like episode 4 starts going, and I'm finally turning. I'm like, man, Raylene, I just can't. I don't know what you see in this show, but I can't watch any more of it. And she's like, me? I thought you liked it.
Yeah, well, I guess you didn't really thin red line it because you would have made it through the entire show.
Well, on the other hand, we did watch 3 hours of it, so that's about thin red line it.
Yeah. Oh, that movie is so fucking horrible. I don't know why people like that movie. Mm.
Yeah, Umbrella Academy. It's got a talking monkey. Okay. Technically an ape. It's a chimpanzee.
I was thinking about recommending doing Team War Machine tournaments because, honestly, I absolutely love it. But I know I've done that before, recommended that exactly on the podcast, so I think I'm going to be a little bit more general. And I will recommend, and I will strongly recommend, going out and traveling with your friends and doing hobby stuff out of town.
Mm.
Because it is just, in general, an awesome thing to
Road trip!
Yeah, get a bunch of people together, take a road trip, and do your hobby stuff somewhere else, and meet new people doing your hobby stuff, because it is almost always awesome. Unless you're doing it to play Warhammer 40K, in which every time I've done that, I have hated life.
But the road trip itself is fun. Some buddies loading in a car, and, you know, sing your Muppet movie song, moving right along, and zoom along. And so,
that was yesterday morning when my team was driving down. We got to Cedar Rapids, and I was like, "Yeah, so we are all traveling 3 hours to go and play a tabletop war game. And on the trip, we discuss the relative merits of the policies of every American president since 1900. Gentlemen, I believe we are nerds."
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting thing about the writer of The Umbrella Academy also wrote Altered Carbon.
Sure.
Some episodes of that. Fargo,
mm-hmm.
the TV series.
Mm-hmm.
Did a whole bunch of some Bones episodes then, too.
Yeah.
He is Steve Blackman, not the wrestler Steve Blackman, but... Well, who had, like, the greatest theme music ever.
Like I said, WWE. It's very stylistically interesting. Just more Ryan, and we'll talk more about road tripping. But an example very early in the first episode. So I watched a video recently talk about how, yeah, plot holes matter in movies and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But it's important to remember that sometimes the feel matters more than the fact within a story, right? Like, for example, the Joker burning an entire pyramid of money in Dark Knight, like... Money doesn't burn that fast. It doesn't make sense. But who cares? The image is what's important, right? Or like his plans, like how he does these things, they don't make sense. They're not logistically possible, right? But they don't matter. What matters is the emotion and the effect and the feeling that the movie's getting into you. Mm-hmm. And so that can matter aesthetically as well. So, for example, when the first episode of Umbrella Academy happens and he adopts the 7 kids, then there's a shot of this billionaire walking to his mansion with just in a straight line behind him, like 7 nurses pushing 7 old-time buggy prams. And it's this great shot, like while the opening music plays. And then the very next shot is him walking to the front door, like from behind. And then from like if you imagine from above, he was on a clock from 11:01. 9:03 and 5 and 4, the buggies come in from like all sides towards the mansion, which makes no sense. Oh. They were in a single file line behind him the shot before, but that shot of them coming in from all sides is a really fucking neat and stylistic shot, and that's worth the plot hole of it, right?
Yeah.
And so it's, you got to be mindful of that's more important. And when you focus on plot holes, when you demand from viewers or from filmmakers, if you say that's more important to me, it is more important to me to know what happened to the Joker after Batman jumped out the window to rescue Rachel than it is to have that emotional moment, then they make films that care more about that than they do about the emotional moment in the cinematography, and that is bad for art. Anyway, road trips.
Yep.
Plus, he gets to stop and get like beef jerky and soda and stuff. And everybody loves the gas station stop.
Yeah, we did the gas station stop. Had good barbecue. I was surprised there was a good barbecue place in Cedar Rapids.
So here's the go-to gas station stop question. Mm-hmm. You go in the gas station, and you can get a soda too. So drink. The drink doesn't count towards this, but snack wise, you're only allowed to buy salty or sweet.
Okay.
What do?
Salty or sweet?
Mm-hmm. You can either get salty snacks or sweet snacks.
Who is this?
I'm asking you.
Who is this autocratic dictator
Is limiting? The universe has magically eliminated you. You can't get gummy worms and Funyuns. Beef jerky would count as a salty as well, yeah. So you can only get one or the other.
I mean, my go-to is spicy beef sticks. I mean, they're on the salty.
So you're going the savory, salty.
I was
going
to say, you mean savory, not as opposed to salty.
Well, salty counts too. Like, you can't get, like, you know, potato chips. Like, that's a salty. Corn nuts, salty. Yeah. Corn nuts are not savory, right? But that's all one thing.
Yeah.
Just like chocolatey and candy are all in the sweet category.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go on the salty side. I mean, spicy beef sticks. I mean, it's like Wisconsin gas station beef sticks are like the guilty pleasure thing.
Yeah,
I don't like fresh, wet beef sticks. And one of the gas stations we stopped at on the way down to Iowa had beef sticks, but they felt like they were, like, I like mine to seem like they have no water in them whatsoever.
Right.
And these were like, there was actually water in, or some kind of juice inside.
They're still juicy,
there.
Yeah. You either need jerky or you need that Slim Jim stick that is basically just sawdust shoved inside of casing because it's so just dry.
Mm-hmm. If they've got actual Landjagers,
do you like the dust? Like, it looks like the tobacco dip, but it's really just like shredded beef jerky.
Oh,
I don't think anybody buys that, do they?
There's people that buy it.
A tin of jerky dust.
Yeah,
I'm going to say you're basically describing pemmican.
Is it? Huh?
What?
A pelican? No, that's a bird with like a big weird neck.
Yeah, pemmican.
No, it's pronounced pelican.
Okay.
What?
I'll take your word for it.
What? Pemmican?
Yeah.
What?
What?
Pemmican is basically powdered buffalo that was a popular trade good in the 18th century.
I don't think that's available now.
Well, I mean, you're basically describing pemmican made out of beef instead of buffalo.
Okay, actually, it's bison.
Sure.
Tatanka.
I'll take your word for it.
Remember Tatanka when he was a wrestler in the 90s?
What are you talking about? He was a wrestler in the 2000s.
Why?
As well. He came back for a while in the WWE. It was after they bought WCW. No.
Does anybody in the 21st century buy pelican at the grocery store?
I have never observed someone purchasing it.
They always fucking have it there. And I'm always like, why? You can have a full jerky. And then the worst part of the bag of jerky is when you're scraping the dust out of the bottom because you're desperate for every calorie. Why would you buy a tin that's nothing but those dregs?
Yeah,
buy Doritos in an oops all crumbs bag where they just crush all the Doritos just to that powder you dump in your mouth at the very end.
Sometimes I really like that though, because it's like a shock value of flavor, because it's all just like everything that got scraped off of the Doritos.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. Are you going to ask me the question?
It was an open question.
It was an open question. My choice is whatever's chalky.
Because that was going to be a follow-up is when you buy candy, you have chocolatey, you have fruity, and you have chalky.
Chalky.
You're going chalky. Chalky. Because I was talking to Raylene about Necco wafers, and now I think they're underappreciated in the chalky category. Because you have Smarties, not British Smarties, those are M&Ms, but American Smarties, which are, they got different colors. They're all the same fucking flavor. No, they're all sugar
sweet,
flavors.
It's sweet and chalk, basically.
Also, fuck chewy Smarties.
Well, those are no.
Those are an abomination.
So the tube Smarties are just colored sweet chalk. Like, there's no flavor to those. Yeah.
There's flavor.
No.
There's flavor.
Negligible.
All right.
Bottle caps have flavor. And those have flavor.
Yes.
I think Necco wafers are underappreciated. They got some decently strong flavor in those fuckers.
They're okay. They're not bottle caps.
They've got flavor, but it's just that the only thing they taste like is Necco wafers. I mean, that may be sufficient, but
the chocolate one tastes like chocolate. They got the licorice flavored ones. Oh yeah. Minty, there's the mint ones in there. Necco wafers are actually surprisingly strongly flavored.
Mm.
The sweet tarts have a flavor. It is just sweet tart.
Well, sweet tart, yeah, sweet tarts.
I mean, that's all they really are. There is a
fun dip.
Well, that who do you ever know that would actually ever use the stick? I would just eat the stick and then just eat the.
No, I would try to use the stick, but it was hard to ration it correctly.
Yeah.
Well, because the powder's not sweet enough without the stick, right? Because then you're just like eating Kool-Aid.
Mm.
I would did that as a child too.
Yeah.
the Kool-Aid that actually had the sugar in it, you wouldn't eat Kool-Aid that would just be like the single packets, but the Kool-Aid that was like in the giant tub with the sugar, I
well, the pre-sugared the stuff, yeah, the packets didn't have sugar in
no,
them.
No.
So if you try to just eat that, you're like,
yeah, which I have.
No, don't do that.
I have done it before. I'm not doing it anymore.
I do distinctly remember my 8-year-old self thinking I was grown and make a pot of Kool-Aid for myself and not realizing that you had to put sugar in it and being horribly disappointed.
Real smarty there. Yeah. 8-year-old me heard the term frozen yogurt and assumed it was just frozen yogurt. So I used to just, like, my parents would bring home Yoplait and I would just chuck it in the freezer. It was surprisingly okay. It was almost like a sherbet kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to eat just literal frozen yogurt. I was smart enough not to just do it with like the fruit on the bottom kind.
That
it was the pre-mixed stuff.
For me, I always hated the fruit on the bottom stuff. Sure. It infuriated me because it wasn't colored. It was just all the white stuff.
You had to mix it.
And then I
hope you timestamp this because this is golden for that guy who complained about my cherry limeade rant.
Yeah,
I'm not. Why did somebody complain about a cherry limeade?
Because it's not War Machine talk.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean,
was that the first Crippled System podcast you ever listened to?
It might have been.
Okay.
It might have been. Every episode is somebody's first, as said Stan Lee. And probably with us, every episode is somebody's last.
Wait. So we're at 266 podcasts. If every episode is somebody's last, I mean, that may overstate our viewership.
And first, right? Yeah. So it's basically like a relay race. Everybody's damned to watch one episode, and they just keep cycling in and out. They're like, nah, your turn. Get in. And they just like limp away, beaten by our lack of quality.
I did run into somebody over at the Iowa tournament that had mentioned it. It was like, yeah, they listen to Crippled System. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Do you still listen to it? I was like, yeah, I still listen to it. I'm up to date. I'm like, why?
Crippled System. Yeah. I'm sorry is always my go-to. I think my new go-to standard is like, man, Crippled System's like the Colossus of podcasts.
That's pretty good. Sacrifice itself for all mutant kind.
Yes.
Huh? That's part of a storyline. They've since then redacted that, but not redacted, but they
retconned
it. No, I don't think they retconned it. They just brought him back to life. No, Colossus. So there was a virus that was going around killing off all mutants, and somebody made up an antivirus for it, but it had to have patient zero. Colossus made himself be patient zero, and he died of it in order to spread the antivirus.
So the worst part of this is that I accidentally expressed interest in a Colossus storyline.
The best part is that I was able to relay a Colossus storyline.
I'm big and Russian.
This reminds me vaguely of the time when Nathan was tricked into playing communist themed Munchkin.
Oh my fucking god, that was so bad! And fucking DC cheating to prolong the game, asshat.
All right,
that was my recommendation and his recommendation.
What's my recommendation? I don't really even have one.
Cool.
Yeah, okay. Cool story. I didn't even think of one at all.
I recommend The Masked Singer. Oh, really, Andy? That's an interesting one. We can talk about that some more.
I'm going to recommend go on Facebook. Unfortunately, you have to go on Facebook. But there is a celebrity character that's on Facebook. His name is Thundercracker. He's one of the Seeker Jets from Transformers. Go to his page. His page is filled with amazing things on a daily basis, usually all revolving around cool things from the 80s.
Okay.
And a lot of cool fucking pictures of Transformers. So if you like Transformers, go like Thundercracker's page.
Ugh.
He's filled with memes and goodness.
And go like Mr. Mallorian's war machine garbage.
It's not war machine. It's meandering.
Shitpost extravaganza.
Jesus Christ. It's just like, how deep of the hole do you want to dig yourself in?
No, shitposting's good. Shitposting's a difficult skill.
Sure.
It's hard to shitpost well.
Yeah.
True.
Are we stopping this now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys for watching. Why are you messing with my...
Because.
My tablet.
So this is magnetic, and you can, like, make it a stand?
Yeah.
Boop.
You know what's it's weird about me is because I come from the day and age of tablets or of magnets being bad for any kind of electronic devices.
Yeah. Sure.
So it's still...
You can make rainbows on the side of your computer monitor.
It really bothers me that this is magnetic and it's...
Yeah.
And it's, yeah. Because, man, I spent like a good 6 hours one day trying to fix a friend's computer, and we would uninstall Norton Antivirus, and then we would reboot the computer, and Norton Antivirus would be there again. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And it just turns out they had a giant fucking magnet on the side of the computer that wouldn't let it be removed off the disk.
Weird.
So it was all corrupted and still there.
See, even though I know better, I still, like, part of me assumes that the magnet's just on the very, very edge so that it doesn't hurt the screen. That's true. They must do that just to keep it safe.
Yeah. It is amazing, though, that we have that technology now. But.
Well, instead, it's funny, like, if people watch Fight Club now and there's the whole scene where they're taking the electromagnet through the Blockbuster video, like, that makes no sense to anybody now. Like, they're just walking up down the aisles with an electromagnet and...
Yeah.
I mean, that would do nothing now. Your DVDs are like, okay, thanks.
Yeah. I guess they would have to scratch every DVD, but we all know that at Blockbusters, they kept them behind the counter.
Yeah. What?
When you rented a DVD, you have to go to the counter because they have them all in the box there. They never had them out there.
True.
Or if they were out there, they're in the sealed container with the stupid switch thing.
Yeah, they have the little lock. They have the little lock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys, for watching. We'll see you guys next week.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.